So last week, what a different day that was, wasn't it? What an amazing day. Just indescribable. And in talking with other pastors, like, what is going on in your church? And we know it's God's presence. But the interesting part about last Sunday is that it was also Pentecost. Pentecost, if you remember, is when, after Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven, 10 days later, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who were there at that time. He was giving the gift as their helper, their comforter. And ever since then, the Holy Spirit has been given to all who believe, to all who believe. Last week we read in Acts 2 verse 38 that we are to repent and be baptized so that we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is a requirement if you want to have a Christian life. You cannot, it's a very simple formula. No Holy Spirit, no life. All right? Very simple. You see, without him, and I have to remind people, the Holy Spirit is not the hydroelectric power that you plug into and you get this power that is sort of given to you. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a personage. It is a him. Okay? He, all right, is the Holy Spirit. And how do we know that? It's because in the Bible it says you can grieve him. He has emotions. Now, I don't think Hydro-Québec has very many emotions, all right? They give you some power, but they don't give you any feeling. The Holy Spirit, of course, is much more than that. But so without him, without the Holy Spirit, we tend as humans to try and operate on our own strength. And what do we accomplish? We can only accomplish human-sized results without him. Many of which ends up in tragedy, hopelessness, war, injustice. I really don't have to go through it all. We live in a world today that is basically in trouble in many, many ways. And where do we see the Holy Spirit work? We can see the Holy Spirit working when people are humbled before him. I have to compliment Bunmi on her testimony this morning when she said she felt this presence. I'll tell you who that presence was. That was the Holy Spirit at work. But it brought Bunmi to a certain point in her life to receive that Holy Spirit. There are many who are brought to the Holy Spirit. There are many who are humbled before him. They may have been distracted by wealth and creature comforts, as we might want to call them. But eventually you become desperate for the Holy Spirit. See, when we learn to trust in the many promises that the Holy Spirit gives us, we are led away from discouragement. We are led into lives that are marked with confidence. We have less worry. We have power in the midst of some of our weaknesses. We can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience. We can handle trials. We can handle trials thanks to the Holy Spirit. I won't share you, although most of you know, there was no way I could have gone through the last 3 years without the Holy Spirit. Impossible. So who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? In Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, it says, Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, and he said, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." You see, the interesting part about this verse is we see the three persons of the Trinity. We see the Father speaking to the Son, and we see the Holy Spirit empowering not just Christ at that time, but all the others that were being baptized then too. You see, throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as God. In a book by Francis Chan, he reminds us about how powerful and who the Holy Spirit is. That book is called Forgotten God, because sometimes we focus on Christ, we focus on the Father, as we should, but for whatever reason we tend to sort of, well, then there's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is essential to each and every one of us. You see, when we read that verse, it's saying that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father and the Son. He is God. He is God. All right. And as God, what should we do? We should worship him just as we worship Christ and the Father. And how do we do that? We do that through our obedience. We do that through witnessing. I don't know if I included this scripture. No, I didn't. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it says, "We are witnesses to these things, so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." We are given the Holy Spirit as a gift, but we are also to worship and obey Christ and God and the Holy Spirit and his law, because he gave it to us. We are to pray to the Holy Spirit, so that we can follow his lead and that we can recognize and appreciate his authority in our lives. You see, because that God and the Holy Spirit deserves worship, he deserves devotion, he deserves our affection, he deserves our obedience, we give to the Father and we give to the Son because he is no less God than they are. I found interesting, once again, I'm going to refer to Bunmi, because when I read some of the things that she has written about and what was meaningful to her in her life and when she was practicing the Jewish faith rely on a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It's called the Shema. It's S-H-E-M-A, the Shema. And the Shema says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." You see, the Lord is one. It is the Father, it is Jesus Christ, the Son, and it is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Lord is one. What did the Holy Spirit and what does the Holy Spirit do today? Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit did is he was at the right there in creation. He, along with Jesus Christ and the Father, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And what? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You see, the Lord is one. It was one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created this earth. And then, not only was he present at creation, he is present. He was present in Jesus' ministry, and he was present and is present in our new birth. In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ says to his disciples, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Who's that helper? We're going to find out a little bit more about him. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him, But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's a new birth. It's a new birth when we receive the Holy Spirit. You see, without the Holy Spirit, it's very hard to please God. We need the Holy Spirit's presence and being in us in order to live a Christian life. He empowers us to follow Christ. And because he is present with us at all times, we can always turn to the Holy Spirit for guidance and trust and know that he will lead us and use us according to his will and to his plan. He gives us gifts. Yes, we all get different gifts, but the gifts that we're given, we are given to use to serve God and to fulfill his plan. And that gift might be something just as easy as generosity or volunteering, or maybe you're a musician. We had people whose gifts were absolutely shown last weekend, last Saturday. All the ladies who prepared the food for Saturday's funeral and then for all the food on Sunday. What an amazing thing they did. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. But by the way, there was something else that was happening in the background there. The funeral preparation, they said, bring enough food for 100 people. 100 people didn't show up. A lot of people still did, but there was food left over. And then when we were planning for the baptisms, we said, well, we need food for 60 people, okay? We had 100 people show up. But interestingly enough, the leftover food from the day before made it possible that we fed the 100 and still had leftovers. All right? Our gifts were used. Thank you, ladies. But you can be sure God had his hand in making sure everybody was fed. All right? Thank you. Anyway, we're all given these gifts, and the Holy Spirit leads us into it. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his, look at this word, is seal. He put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, as a down payment, a guarantee, a seal. What's a seal? It means you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Once you have it, you are saved. It's not going to get taken away from you. You've got it. You have eternal life. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, it says, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us what? The Spirit as a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's like when you make a down payment on your car, all right, you've made a pledge that you're going to continue buying that car. Well, you've been given more than just a pledge and a down payment. You've been given a guarantee that the Holy Spirit is in you, and when you've received it, he will never go away. He will never abandon you. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts us, he teaches us, he empowers us to live a Christian life. The Holy Spirit is our helper and our counselor. I just pause for a second. Think about your own salvation experience. At what point in your life did you recognize the Holy Spirit having led you to the faith in Jesus Christ? When did that happen? Maybe it hasn't happened. It can. It still will. At what point have you found, having received the Holy Spirit, that you've seen him work in your life? Having been led to baptism, as an example. Or maybe getting you through a trial. Yes, he's teaching you because you get humbled, but you learn something from trials. You learn tremendous amounts of things, actually. Have you seen how the Holy Spirit may have protected you in a certain situation? Ask Wanda. She'll tell you. Okay. Have you been given wisdom in a very difficult situation? And the Holy Spirit, having prayed to him, helped you with the answer. I want to give you a little side anecdote. My wife and I were planning a nice weekend. And we sort of got excited about what this weekend's going to include. We're going to go somewhere. We're going to go to a hotel for a couple of nights. We're going to have some really expensive dinner. We'll go and do some entertainment. We're going to have a great weekend. And so we planned all this, and I made some reservations and all kinds of stuff. And about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I started to look at all the things, and I said, oops, this hotel is very expensive. In fact, it's very expensive, and I don't think that's really a wise thing to be spending this kind of money on two nights in a hotel. Okay? But then I thought, well, how am I going to tell my wife that we can't do this? All right? And disappoint her. And I'm thinking all of the different ways of how can I get out from under doing this? Oh, maybe I could get sick. Or something that would just get me out of this thing. Anyway, one morning I did pray. And I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know how you're going to do this, but you need to help me solve this problem. It's not wise to spend this money, but I don't want to upset and offend my wife. And as a little bit later in the day, my wife comes into my office. She says, you know, I just thought, I think that hotel is a little too expensive. Why don't we do something else? Now, that's a trivial example, but I'm telling you, you put it in front of God, and at the right time, you're going to get an answer. You're going to get an answer. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means living a Christian life and practicing being a Christian. And we have to give ourselves some respect when we do that. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? And whom you have from God. You see, you're not your own anymore. You're a child of God, and he is in your body. In Romans chapter 8, and by the way, if you want to know a lot more about the Holy Spirit, read Romans 8, that whole chapter. But it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, okay, what does it say? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, guaranteed eternal life. So, the power of the Christian life is the Holy Spirit. Imagine what we would have to put up with if we didn't have the Holy Spirit. How would we solve our problems? What areas in our lives do we or you or I need strength? And we can go to the Holy Spirit and ask for prayer. You see, when we go to the Holy Spirit, we are going to God. And if we go first to God with our situations and our problems and our trials, he will answer. Go first to God. Go first to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say, if you don't already have the Holy Spirit, if you don't already have him in you, you know, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. All you have to do is ask. Repent and be baptized. It says, repent and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can ask. In your daily life, you can allow then the Holy Spirit to lead you in everything that you do. Whether it's in your job, with your finances, whether it's with your relationships, whether it's time with your family, whether it's to do with your health, If you have an actual and active interaction with the Holy Spirit through prayer, He will respond. Or you can take your job and finances and relationships and family issues and health problems back to the human system. See if that's going to work. Sorry, it doesn't. In Philippians chapter 2, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. It's working out your own salvation. In other words, working out is using that Holy Spirit that's given you on the inside, working with your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do what? His good pleasure. It pleases God that you go to Him and ask Him for help. Just as if you were a child asking your parents, can you please help me? Most parents will say, absolutely, it's my pleasure to help you. And it's my pleasure, God the Father says, to help you if you go to Him. It just boggles my mind when it's time to make a decision. Why would we want to make a decision without God? When He's given you this gift and this power, why would you not do that? You see, let's not go past this or sort of gloss it over. You see, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not just people living our life by human standards and human power. We are living by the power of God, sealed, the power to be never taken away, the power of the Holy Spirit in all that we do. So here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does, and I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. There's actually, it would take another two or three messages to go through them all, but I'm just going to give you a short list. You see, He helps us out in precarious situations. You can find scriptures in both the books of Mark and Luke where that happens. He's our comforter. He is our encourager. He is our advisor. He is our strength. We receive the Holy Spirit so that we can be His witnesses, not just to other people, but also so that we can draw closer to each other. He gives us the Holy Spirit so we can be set free from sin. We have a loving relationship with our Father because of the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit you received doesn't make us slaves anymore so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And we can cry. We can cry whenever. And oh, by the way, if you're in some trials, here's a great recommendation. Cry. Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We're kids. We're His kids. We're part of the family. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing. You see, the Holy Spirit is our sanctifier, and we bear the fruit of Him being in us. I don't know if I have. Yes, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You know, it's interesting. When you first received the Holy Spirit, how much love, joy, peace, and patience did you have? I'm going to admit, I had very little. In fact, I still have a problem with patience. Okay? But the interesting part is, as you take on this journey that God brings you along, these gifts start to manifest themselves. Love all of a sudden starts coming up in your life, and you treat people with love. And you get joy from things that you know are just incredible, right? And then goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, peace. Oh boy, getting peace isn't that tough when you're anxious and worried. But the Holy Spirit helps you with that, and eventually you learn and you develop, and He works with you so that no matter what is happening and you trust in God, you get this peace. You get this peace. Because it's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us, we're seeking His empowerment. And as long as we don't have any unconfessed sin in our lives, we can experience his power all the time. Not just when we come to church, but 24/7. When we pray, next time you pray, I would ask the following. Take a moment and pray to the Holy Spirit that you will follow his lead and that you will recognize his authority in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal more of himself to you and become aware and see if you can discern how the Spirit is working in you. Because sometimes he's working in you you're not aware of it, but he's there and he's helping you along. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to live his life through you, to guide you, and to give wisdom. And take a moment to pray and thank the Holy Spirit. Thank him that he is present in your life. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do so now. I have a prayer here, and I'm going to put it up on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to go through it with me. Whether you have the Holy Spirit now or if you would like to have the Holy Spirit, this prayer is for all of us. Lord Jesus, I want to be filled with your Spirit and empowered to live the Christian life. If there is sin I need to confess to you, please reveal that to me. I want to be a clean vessel, used by you for your glory. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. Father in heaven, we just thank you very much for the privilege of the Holy Spirit being in us. That you, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are one God. And that as we go through this journey in life, may we praise you and thank you, God, as the Father of creation. May we praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus, as our Savior and King. And may we praise you and thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in us and empowering us and guiding us and leading us and protecting us through each and every day. That we can come to you and ask. That we can come to you, one Lord, one God, and you will hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just do one more psalm here. Hopefully I've got it. Whoops. Oh, I'm sorry, folks, but we have to go through an ad.
You want the most out of life.
Yeah, I do. I don't think so. But that's very appropriate. Oh, God is at work. Let me tell you, this is terrific. It's so beautiful. Oh, dear. You can't dream up these things.